Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here tonight, and I'm here with my co-host, Michael P. for Paul McCarthy.
P. for Patrick.
Hey.
I'm a good Irish boy.
It should be Paul.
It should not be Paul. This isn't a real accent either.
That sounds like an Italian accent.
If that sounds Italian to you, I'm not sure what parts you're going through.
Michael Patrick McCarthy, good Irish boy. Are you 100% Irish?
I thought I was for a while. And then what's that website, Ancestry.com?
I don't do that. I promised I would never do Ancestry.com because I don't want those people to tell me I'm not 100% Italian.
Well, I got to tell you, my favorite thing I learned on there was that going back and tracing my family, they didn't let the McCarthys in at Ellis Island. They sent the boat north to Canada. So they went to Canada, but then they snuck their way in through the top. But while in Canada, in order to fit in, no one was hiring the Irish. So my great-great-grandfather changed his name to Maurice McCarthy.
Maurice McCarthy.
Maurice.
A good French Irishman, right? You know?
I was like, hey, you got to do what you got to do to get a job.
Yeah, well, that's the way you do it. So the McCarthys came to America after that, and that brings us to Michael being here tonight with us. Mike's the Chief Compliance Officer, Chief Operating Officer, Financial Consulate. Brilliant young man, CPA, CFP, and it's good to have him here with us tonight on an open show tonight, Michael. We're on an open show. That means that our guests are our listeners. They get to call in and say, this is the direction I want to talk about tonight. This is something that will help me personally with our personal finances. So could you answer this question, be it on Social Security, be it on IRAs, be it on tax planning? And there's a lot of tax planning that you should be doing now before the end of the year. And you only got 2 weeks left to get it done.
Right.
So now's the time to be doing it. Make sure whatever question you want to answer tonight, you call in immediately, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, because those who call in now get the most attention. If we go on into the later part of the show, we start getting more calls and we have to hurry along and we can't spend as much time. So if you want to call in and direct the conversation, 410-922-6680. So talking tax planning, and something
right.
that I'm doing a lot of with a lot of our clients is opportunity zone funds, and they're not very well known and they're not very well understood by a lot of people, but tell everybody what an opportunity zone fund is, because you've done most of the work on this.
Right, yeah. So opportunity zone funds were created in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and it's not surprising that a president who came from real estate would create an idea like this. Basically, you get all these tax benefits. If you have some asset that's got lots and lots of gains and you haven't done anything with it because you don't want to pay the taxes on it, Uncle Sam says, hey, go ahead, sell the thing. And take that money and put it to work developing in an area that the governors of the states tell you is a good place that needs improvement. And we'll go ahead and let you defer that gain, and we'll even let you cut some of it down, and we'll even let everything you make on that investment be tax-free. It's much more complicated than that. But the one thing I always want to make sure I get out on opportunity zone funds is the perception when someone first hears about them is that, oh my gosh, they want me to sell my asset and put that money in some terrible part of town that's got, all kinds of problems, that, oh, I'll never make any money. I'll lose all my money. But really, each governor of every state was competing for these dollars, including our own, and many of them drew the lines in places they knew people would want to invest
in. And they probably owned real estate there themselves, so But also keep in mind that Opportunity Zone funds are great, but one thing you don't want to be doing is paying commissions to salespeople to buy Opportunity Zone funds. There are plenty of them that are commission-free, and that's what you should be looking for. And you should be working with a competent tax professional to make sure that you're getting the right thing. But you have to do it between now and the end of the year. We got callers online. Michael, Dave, and Freeland. That's where you used to be from,
Mike. I did. I used to live in Freeland.
Dave, what can we do for you?
Hi, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I have an IRA. I'm 60 years old. And I was wondering, for withdrawal from an IRA, do I just have to start in an established schedule, or just can I take a small amount out?
You can do either or anything you want. You can take it out monthly. You can take it out quarterly. You can take it out once a year. You can take it out random. You can do anything you want, Dave. It's totally up to you.
And you can leave it in.
Once I take it out once a year, do I have to continue once a year?
Nope. You take it out this year, and then next year you go back to work and or whatever, and you don't need and you don't want to pay taxes on any. You can leave it in there. It's not until you're 70 and a half that they start mandating that you start taking it out. But that's actually going to possibly change to 72 if this the Secure Act gets passed in the next week or so.
I think what Dave's thinking about is substantially equal payments, which is
He's only 60. He said he's 60.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying, but I think he's heard that before. So if you're younger than 60, there's a thing with that, but not if you're over 59 and a half.
You're good, Dave. You do what you want. You're in charge, my friend.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, buddy.
Have a good evening.
Take care. Good question, though. I'm going to go to Jim in Pikesville. Jim, how can I help you?
Yes, good evening. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Are we allowed to say that, Jim? Merry Christmas.
Thank you. just a quick question. A lot of us got, surprised maybe a little bit or hurt by the state of Maryland not, giving some relief from the federal changes in the tax.
Don't get me mad, Jim. So go ahead and ask your question.
Maryland done anything to try to give some relief?
No.
Or is there any proposed legislation?
No.
So they're just going to keep...
They're going to drive everybody out of the state except for the people that vote for them.
Frankly, the only thing that's been discussed recently is actually increasing the taxes more.
Yeah.
What's that plan called, Drew? The K some?
Which one are you talking
about? The K.
I'm not familiar.
The Hogan's not in favor of it, but legislature is.
I try not to listen to those guys. It's just frustrating. Johnny O's who you're going to drive us out of the state. You live in Baltimore County too, Jim?
Yes, I do.
How did anybody vote for this guy? Did anybody hear?
Beyond me.
He raised our piggyback tax and with the concept that we haven't gotten a tax increase in Baltimore County in all these years. What about our income? Our income goes up every year and you get more and more taxes. And now I understand that the guy's looking at raising our property taxes in addition. They're going to drive everybody out of this state. They don't understand it. They don't care. They're going to ruin the state. And there is no relief coming yet, Jim.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that just update or whatever. And
rant. Again, that's what it was called. It's called a rant.
Yeah.
Thank you for that rant is what you should say to me. Thank you for that rant, Drew. Have a Merry Christmas.
All right.
So it's the Kerwin Commission plan to raise income taxes by 39%.
There you go. Hopefully Hogan's finally against one tax increase. Anyway, Chris, we're going to traffic. We're going to come back to this open show. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge.
call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
So I told Chris that if he gets my two favorite Christmas songs before the end of the night, I give him his Christmas gift. And if he doesn't, I keep it. What a great Christmas gift that is from me. You know, well, he's one for one so far.
What was the guy's name, that worked? It wasn't Scrooge. Mr. Scrooge?
What are you trying to tell
nothing,
me, Mickey?
Nothing. Never mind. Let's move on.
We're going to Mark in Ellicott City. Mark in Ellicott City, how can we help you?
Okay, if you have a stock and the thing just explodes into profit, like Tesla, and has the potential to just keep moving sharply higher, you have a tendency to want to keep everything in to maximize your gains, but what would be the best way to manage something that's moving up so rapidly?
Well, you know, you do what Warren Buffett or, you know, Bill Gates and a lot of people like that who have a lot of concentration in a stock, and that is they take some money off the table every so often and they reinvest it somewhere else in a diversified, away from that. And you just have to determine how much risk are you willing to take, except in a concentrated position versus, what are your goals and objectives long term if that stock were to collapse? Because, you know, Elon Musk isn't a brilliant guy, but he's also crazy all at the same time. You know, he's an amazing dichotomy of crazy and intelligent at the exact same moment. And, so you take some money off the table to make sure you accomplish your long term goals and objectives. And you maintain your concentration, believing that the stock is going to continue to go higher.
Did you buy it in an IRA or do you own it in an individual account?
IRA.
Okay, good. So you don't have to worry about tax loss.
You don't even have to worry about taxes. Yeah. You can just sell some of it and just keep a big hunk of it, knowing you have a concentrated position and so forth. All right, Mark?
Gotcha. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Good question, though. Very good question. We're going to Jim in Cadenceville. Jim, how can we help you?
Yeah, I got a question on my current IRA, which is part of my investment program now, drawing interest and so forth. But I set that up for all of it to go to charity on a percentage basis now. So it's standing there waiting for until I die.
Okay.
Now, my two questions are, the day that I die, I'm single, so I'm subject to the 10% estate tax. Would that be excluded from the 10% estate tax?
That would come off the top. In other words, if you were subject to estate taxes or inheritance taxes, anything going to charity would not be included in the total.
Okay, that's fine. Now, my second part of that question is that when that goes to charity, can I in my estate? Can that be used as a deduction against the taxable part of the state?
No, because, well, you,
I'm not getting
any way.
Well, I mean, technically it is, but there is no income tax deduction. But let's say your total estate was worth $1 million and you were given $100,000 of your IRA away to charity. Technically, you would say you're only going to have $900,000 left because the charity piece doesn't count. So it sort of comes off if that's what you're asking.
It comes off before you do the tax return.
Well, but, it depends. When you say the word tax return, Mike, he's got to understand there's a difference between an income tax return, an estate tax return, and an inheritance tax return because he's single. And, Jim, do you use your required minimum distribution?
I do.
Okay, so you need it every year, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're doing the right thing, man. You're leaving all of your pre-tax money to charity through your beneficiary designation, and that's a brilliant strategy. I'm assuming you're leaving your other assets to family members of some sort.
Correct, plus other charities.
Okay, but you see, that's brilliant. You want to make sure all of your charitable giving goes from your pre-tax accounts, and it's got to go, it's best to go through beneficiary designations through your accounts.
It's already set up that way, but you activated another question for me. And anything in excess of the other estate that's going to my family, it'll be growing. I have plans to give that to charity. Now, that can be used as a deductible, right?
It depends on what you're talking about as a deduction, and it depends on how your will is set up. This gets really complicated. If it's a pecuniary bequest, in other words, if it's a specific dollar amount, it depends on how the wording in your will is written.
Well, let me word it this way then. I have all the beneficiaries for my family designated on a percent basis with a cap.
Through your will or through a beneficiary designation on the investment accounts?
Through my will.
Through your will. So, you know.
But the part of that question is anything in excess of those caps on that percentage, if it exceeds, my total estate exceeds that, I want that to go to charity.
Well, okay. Let me just say something, Jim, is I can't answer this question without reading that document. This gets extremely complicated, and you better make sure that
you
have.
How should I read it? I mean, how should I write it?
I can't tell you that. You need to make sure you have an estate attorney who's a tax person who's guiding you in on this, because if it's done wrong, it's going to be a disaster to your estate. That's all I can say, and I can't go any further. I wished I could. It's more complicated than what I can answer on a radio show, but you're doing the right thing. You just better make sure somebody's written that will right. And how you're doing it. All right, buddy? I wished I could give you more.
Okay, thank you.
All right. I mean, you do that wrong. You don't have the right language in that will. And I'm not a lawyer. I can't tell them what language to write.
What we can do sometimes is we can read it, and we can say, you know what, we think there's a problem. Let's go get the lawyer involved. Yeah, absolutely.
Pete in Centerville, Opportunity Zone. How can we help you?
Opportunity Zone. I own 200 acres in an Opportunity Zone.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And it's been designated by Hogan
Now let me start at here. I saw on the television there Wilbur Ross, I believe is Secretary of Commerce, is talking about Opportunity Zone a couple of years ago, and they're talking about they were going to create this thing in various areas, and they were going to be in areas that needed help, financially needed help.
Right.
Okay. Now. This Opportunity Zone I own is in Queen Anne County. I'm on the lower end of an Opportunity Zone that they created, right across the highway from lower value land and so forth. And it goes from takes in my land, and then it goes on in thousands of acres of really high end stuff, fronting on the Chester River, going right up to Chestertown.
Right.
Right, yeah. It's an opportunity for investors.
Yeah. That's an opportunity.
That's the opportunity.
But most of this stuff that they put in the Opportunity Zone is in land preservation and so forth, and the people don't want to do anything with it anyway.
Yeah, well, but let me tell you something. Go ahead, Mikey.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that. So you got to remember, everybody's got a bias. And when Governor Hogan was approached and his team was approached to figure out where this is, they could certainly draw the zones in the areas they think that need the most help. But if they sat back and thought, well, do we think investors are going to come pour money into my state to build here? No. So what they do is say, okay, well, let's find areas that qualify, but areas we think we can get money from outside the state to come pouring in to raise our tax base and create jobs and all those other things. So the bias that all the governors have is to compete with each other. States do this all the time with taxes. The states have to compete to keep businesses in or to bring more money in. So, you know, while some of these opportunity zones, they may be actually, you know, places no one wants to build, I guarantee you a good bit of them are places that are just, you know, fantastic opportunities to build.
Yeah.
The thing is, we had a governor a few years ago by the name of Michael O'Malley. Okay? Or Martin O'Malley.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. Martin O'Malley.
Saw his band once.
Okay. I tried to forget his name. That's why I couldn't spit it out right away. But go ahead.
He had a great program. Confiscation without compensation. Okay?
I own a lot of agricultural land and so forth. We used to have a good program here where we could develop 15% of our land and the rest could be kept in agriculture, and you could transfer your development rights around. People that didn't want to develop their land could turn around and sell these development rights to people who did want to develop their land. But the governor, in his infinite wisdom, got a little program through that now you can't develop anything that's not in incorporated towns. Virtually can't be developed at all.
Yeah. Well, I got to run to traffic, but I hear you, and I agree. But opportunity zones are excellent opportunity. We got to go to traffic. We're going to be right back. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, hold on for us. And when we come back from this break, we'll go to you next, Stephen.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
One for two, Mike. He's got one more shot to go to get his Christmas gift.
So I'm gonna help him out. It's Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey.
No, it is definitely not Dominic the Christmas Donkey, Mike.
Do you know the song?
No.
I'll sing it in a little bit.
Yeah, we're looking.
We'll lose all
sing,
our listeners,
why don't
we?
You sing that along with Grandma Got Ran Over with a Reindeer or whatever?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with Dominic the Christmas Italian Christmas Donkey. Somebody has to
come. That was a very nice song, though. I like that very much. But it's not one of my top two. You got one. We're one for two right now. You got one shot left. Anyway, Stephen in Towson, how can we help you?
Yeah, I got an idea for a song. Grandma Got Ripped Off by Her Advisor, or something like that, whatever.
Hopefully, or by our government.
Yeah,
how about that
go,
one? It better.
There you go. That's better. Thank you. Here's a question. I'm like 70 years old, and I got a grandson who is just been diagnosed as autistic. He's like 5 years old.
Okay.
And so... question is, what are some of the things that I can do to help guarantee, you know, some financial resources for him later in life? Because, you know, we don't know, nobody knows where he'll end up on the, you know, intelligence spectrum, whatever you want to say. So he could be an adult who maybe takes care of himself, or he could be an adult who cannot at all take care of himself. We just don't know. So I don't want to leave that up to chance, and I'll be gone by the time he's going to need these monies. You know, by the time he turns as an adult.
So, you know, that's a great question, and there's a couple things that you could do, but until you know what the situation's really going to be, is he a very high-functioning autistic or is he not going to be, you don't know yet. So, but let's say you did know. Let's say you said, no, he's going to probably need some type of government assistance for a long period of time. What my suggestion to you would be is to set up what's called a standalone special needs trust, and it would be an irrevocable trust that you can gift money to that's allowed to provide support of some sort to the child that would not disqualify him for government assistance.
Now,
so go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask, are you and your grandson both in the state of Maryland?
Actually, he is not at the moment, how would that, you know, speak to that? Because they might move back. That's a good question. What should I think about?
Yeah, what do you?
So there's a lot of special needs planning that is really tied to each state.
It can be. That's true.
So the state, because one of the first places that your children are going to go to start getting assistance for a special needs child is going to be some of the state programs. And those state programs have their own rules about assets and money and things like that. But also some of the documents like guardianship and things like that that will come into play once he's over 18 is also going to be state-based. So that's going to be something. It may not directly affect the special needs trust that you might create, especially if you create it in your estate, but it is going to affect the overall planning. So somebody needs to be staying on top of that through the whole
that's
life.
That's true. You know, so the state you're going to have is going to be very important to where the child's going to live. But the special needs trust is a standalone special needs trust is something, regardless what state they're in, it would qualify in any state in the country if written properly. And it would allow you to, for example, this trust would allow you to spend money to take the child on a vacation. It would be what we call luxury items. And it's an excellent program that we use for a special needs child. But I wouldn't do anything until you assess better what the situation would be. But here's one of the keys, Stephen, is you got to make sure that you do not do anything in your estate planning, either in beneficiary designations or wills, et cetera, that would accidentally leave money down. What do I mean by that? So your will probably says something like this. If I die and my wife has passed away also, then I leave everything to my children. But if my children aren't alive, I leave their share to their children proportionally. If your will says something that, and that freaky situation, God forbid, happened, your daughter's passed away, your wife's passed away, and then you pass away, next thing you know, your assets are going down a portion to that special needs child, and that's the worst scenario. So it's very important that you coordinate your estate planning with your daughter's estate planning for that child and making sure nothing would possibly go to that child under any circumstances.
And when
okay?
it comes to beneficiaries, you want to make sure there's that per stirpes word. If you've got the per stirpes word on the special need child's parent, that's going to be a way that some people don't expect it to happen, but then they end up leaving those assets.
Yeah. So it's very important that you coordinate this to not leave anything to that child. And then when you do assess what the situation is, you then begin the work of, okay, how do we prepare them? How do we get the government assistance? How do we make sure that we have assets to care for them? It's called a special needs trust. There are also things called the ABLE accounts. You'll hear about them. Personally, I don't like ABLE accounts. They have a place, but I don't use them very often. But
yeah, the thing I know about an ABLE account is that when the money's left over at the end, if the child passes away, you're not able to have as much direction over where it goes.
It only
goes to Medicaid.
It goes to government. That's yeah. where it's going to go. Usually, you know, 90-some percent of the time. All right, Stephen?
Wow, that's a lot to learn. Thank you. A-B-E-L, A-B-L-E, what's that?
A-B-L-E,
ABLE.
But don't put money in there yet.
So
in this
529 accounts for disabled children, but I would not be big benefit or big advocates of them under most circumstances. But
well, so if I happen to accidentally, per stirpes, leave money to the kid, then that would reduce his ability to get support from the government? Is that
it would eliminate it for
it would totally eliminate it. And the only way he'd be able to get back is either to spend it all or to put it in what's called a first-party special needs trust where it would go to the state after he passes away. If you set the trust up, special needs trust, for the child and then your daughter or your grandson passes away, any money left over into that trust will go to whoever you direct, not to the state. That's called a third-party special needs trust. You need to make sure you hire somebody that can guide you in this area. One of my favorite lawyers in this area is Mary O'Byrne, special needs trust. That's her specialty, and she's a great person to talk to if you want help in this area. All right?
That's great. I need to do Mary O'Byrne, huh?
O'Byrne, O-B-Y-R-N-E, O'Byrne. All right?
Thank you so much.
All right. We got to go to Frank. Frank, how can we help you?
This is Frank?
Yeah, Frank,
okay.
Go ahead.
I never hear this on the air anytime. Anybody on Social Security along that age should think about this. If everybody's advertising this tax-free bonds and stuff, and the first line is a tax, no taxes on those, put them separately. Well, what they do, they figure your tax-free bonds income in along with your cash income, and they reach a certain height. And if it exceeds a certain place, the two of them added together will reduce your Social Security income.
Well, it won't reduce your Social Security income, Frank. It'll just make your Social Security income taxable, and then when you pay tax on it, you'll have less Social Security left is what you're trying to tell us, right?
That sounds the same to me as you're losing money.
But here's,
sorry.
Yeah, well, that's true. But here's the point. If you're in that low an income bracket, if you're only making, because you only have that situation occur if you have less than $60,000 of total income, including those tax-free bonds. And if anybody sold you tax-free bonds when you only have $60,000 of income, personally, I think they're doing you a disservice
that's
anyway.
You got to be way up
the tax-free municipals are for people making hundreds of thousands of dollars, not for the guy that's making $30,000 or $60,000.
I never heard discussed over the phone.
Good point, though, Frank.
Buy tax-free stuff, but they better watch what they're doing when they retire.
All right, buddy. Good question. Good statement. Good fact. We're on an open show. Barbara, I hope you'll hold on. I got to go to my last traffic break and see if Chris can get my second favorite Christmas. Actually, it is my number one. But we're going to go to traffic.
Take it away, traffic.
Right now. There you go. Thank you, Michael. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Do you hear what I hear? Said the night wind to the little lamb.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
See, that's number three. You hit that last week, you remember?
So Let me guess.
Go ahead.
Is it Little Drummer Boy?
No.
I thought that was it. I thought that was in my background or my memory somewhere.
Down on Your Knees.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, Holy Night. And the angels sing... Down on your knees, you know, and
yeah.
I could do it, but I'm not very good with the words. My wife always teases me because I make up words when I sing songs.
And you
songs.
Have a history in music, right, with your voice?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, so Chris is saying that was the first song he played. I guess we're going to have to go to instant playback.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. It was the first one I played. It was by the King's Choir.
Well, maybe I've got the title of the song wrong. Down on Your Knees.
No, Oh Holy Night. That's what I played.
Yeah, he might be right.
No, he wasn't.
You want to pull it up and play it?
Well, but play the part Down on Your Knees.
I didn't go that
far
because there's licensing issues. But
we only have 30 seconds?
I can get away with a minute at tops.
Yeah, well, we ought to hear that before we're finished. Let's go to Barbara first. Because if you got it, then you got it. Didn't sound like you got it. Anyway, Barbara in Reisterstown. I live in Reisterstown, too. How are you, Barbara?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm calling about minimum distribution.
Okay.
I'm 84.
All right.
I've been taking minimum distribution on a small account I have for many years. I take it once a year. October 1st, I get a check.
Okay.
This October 1st, I did not get a check. When I called... They told me, and this is what I'm understanding, there were not enough funds there for minimum distribution at that time, but that I would have to cover that in taxes. I don't understand that. The account has several hundred thousand dollars in it, and I really don't know what to do at this point.
What is it invested in, Barbara?
Stocks.
So I have no idea what they're saying.
I don't either.
What brokerage firm are you with?
This is with T. Rowe Price.
T. Rowe Price. Well, they're a good firm.
Yeah, they are a good firm. That's surprising. Yeah, I mean, they need to sell something. It's one thing that I think is possible in this situation is if you have a self-directed, if you're self-directing the investments, meaning they're not managing the investment for you, what may have been misunderstood is that you have to tell them to sell something to generate the cash. Maybe for years you had enough cash in there and you were wearing it down. But that's only, you know, if they're not managing it for you. If they're managing it for you, then that should be done by them. But
probably
but you need
not.
You need to work it out before the end of the year.
Yeah, so all you got to do, Barbara, is call them up and say, I haven't taken my required minimum distribution yet. How much do I need to take out? And do I need to generate cash? And so tell me what fund you think I ought to sell and then sell it and raise the cash and get your RMD out of there.
Really? So I really do have to sell something in order to make up this difference?
Yes, ma'am. You have to sell. You have, in other words, they can't send you out stock. They have to sell something to do it. It doesn't really. Actually, I think they can disperse assets, can't they?
Well, it's a bit more complicated. They're generally not going to want to do that. You also need another account to do that.
Yeah, you know. So
you know, why couldn't they just have sent a smaller amount or?
You have to take the RMD, and the RMD on a couple $100,000 account at your age is about $15,000.
Hmm.
So you gotta
take what it is.
You
don't
get to pick. Take it. Yeah, you gotta take it.
You can take more, but you can't take less.
Yeah, and you gotta pay the income taxes on it, and so just get it out of there because you know the penalty is 50% if you don't take it out before December 31st.
Well,
so let's say it's $14,000 you have to take out. The penalty is $7,000 for not taking it out. So just call T. Rowe Price up tomorrow and say, how much is my RMD? How much do I have to take out? Tell me a fund that I've got in there that you think I ought to sell to generate that amount of cash and get it out of there. It's just what you have to do, my friend, unfortunately.
Okay. Thank you, and I will do that.
All right. You take care. Merry Christmas to you, too. And look here, my man. He stands corrected. He stands corrected. Now, you got to appreciate him. I think we ought to give him the gift anyway for being so honest.
I think if not, callers should call in and think. Say, do you think he should get it?
Yeah. Listen, here it comes. This is the song that I'm thinking of.
Yeah, as I said, I stand corrected. I played O Come, O Come Emmanuel first.
And then the second song
was... the second one was Do You Hear What I...
No, that was the third one. It was...
I have to go back and take a
star,
look.
A Star Is Shining, you know, and so forth. This is O Holy Night, and this is the one.
This was
Wait
in...
a minute. You're coming to the part.
He's going to run out of his 30 seconds.
Don't matter, you know, I mean, tell Mark Bevan to pay the fee if they claim that he played it too. On your knee.
Okay, at that point in time, I have to cut it. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And hear the angels singing.
So, Drew, you were in a choir, weren't you? If I remember correctly, weren't you in a choir once?
That's a very funny story, Mike. And you know the story, and you're just making me.
I'm plucking the strings.
Yes, there you go.
Poking the dragon.
Long story. One day maybe I'll tell that story. What grade was I in? Sixth grade. That's a long story.
The short version is you weren't in the choir for long.
Well, I finally quit the choir. When I was able to quit the choir was the week before that the priest told everyone he was going to take them to Ocean City.
Oh, yeah. So, that was it.
Anyway, Mikey, we're running out of time, but I wanted to talk about Opportunity Zone Fund again because we only got 14 or 12 days left or 13 days left
well,
in the
so
year.
Well, so we got 12 or 13 days left to get a full 15% step up in the original basis of what you put in. So on the whole last days of the year thing, for anyone thinking about it, on $100,000, you're going to lose about $2,200 of benefit by the end of the year. But something that I just want the listeners to know, just because, you know, it's always you get this wonderful story, it's accredited investors. So it's $250,000 of income, $1 million of assets. You know, so this is something that we can't always necessarily get into.
And it's something that really has to be thought out without a salesperson involved. That's the key.
You know what the hard part of that is? It has to really be thought out without a salesperson involved. But at the same point, the product providers can't go directly to the consumer. So you have to go through an intermediary like we are. But we're not salespeople. So that's the thing. You want to find an advisor
to
help you go through it.
Want to find a tax planner, somebody who's competent in taxes.
Which has to be a broker or a registered investment advisor. Like I said, you can't go direct.
And you want a fee-only advisor that's not going to sell it. They're going to look at what's best for you.
And you want an independent fee-only advisor.
So we wrote a great article, and we talked about that this morning with Sean and Bruce, you know, in our – segment with them this morning about an article we wrote called Independence and the importance of independence of a professional financial advisor. So, you know, if you're with a wirehouse brokerage firm, Morgan Stanley, Raymond James, Merrill Lynch, Ameriprise, or if you're with an insurance company, Northwestern Mutual, Mass Mutual, Lincoln Financial Advisors, Voya Financial Advisors, you're affiliated with an insurance company or a brokerage firm. And what happens in that situation is your independence is compromised. So, for example, when we were with Raymond James 25 years ago and we went fully independent in 1995, if Raymond James was doing something that we disagreed with or they were in trouble financially like Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers in 2008, we had nowhere to go. We had to stay with Raymond James. We would have had to drop everything and find a new brokerage firm that we could, and they normally have not to compete agreements with them too, right, Mike? So you're stuck with them. And but now that we're independent, if Charles Schwab dropped their commission rates down to zero, if I were holding our clients' assets at TD Ameritrade and Fidelity and they didn't drop their commission rates to zero that Schwab did, you know what we're going to do the next day when we ask TD and Fidelity to drop their commission to zero and they say no? We're going to start the process of transferring over to Schwab because
we work for the clients.
We work for the clients. We don't represent brokerage firms. We don't represent insurance companies. And that's the way independence.
And you know what? Just to tie it beyond just financial advisors, I think that's something that we all need to look for in life is who we're getting our advice from. Do you want to get your medicine advice from a pharmacist or a pharmaceutical rep?
Yeah, I understand that. That's absolutely right. Anyway, Mike, we're out of time. We're out of the rest of Money, Riches, and Wealth for the rest of 2019 because we're not going to be back again until January 8th.
Well, thank you, 2019. 2020, be good to us.
It was a great year, but we say bless you, Father, and we ask you to bless us in 2020. And this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Show them.